Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith located in Sacramento, California.
We hope our podcast will help those who listen to grow in faith.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
We hope you find them inspiring.
And our reading this morning continues on some of the chapters that we've been reading together over the last few weeks. This comes to us from Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and they urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly.
Amen. Just to give you the working definition, a solo is a musical composition or a section, right? Doesn't have to just be one piece, or a passage in a musical composition in which the musician plays unaccompanied. In other words, all by themselves. It can be a whole piece, can have a whole solo piece, or it can be part of a larger whole that has a whole instrumentation all over it. And it works, you know, not just with musical instruments, but our voices as well. That's pretty much the definition of solo. And there are others out in the world, but we're working on music, so that's what I'm working with this morning. Solo. So we wanted to give you an example before we got to this part of what it's like. It's a little different not to have the leadership of the group. It's a little different maybe to just have Anthony playing that melody line and then at the very end we sang as a group solo, unaccompanied. So just hold that as I'm talking. Matt shared that we're reading through some of these chapters in Matthew. We've been hearing this the last couple of weeks. He goes off solo. He's going to go pray. And today, he was trying to do that, and then he was approached. He keeps trying to go away, I think, and get centered, but the people somehow find him and pull him away. So here he is again doing that. This time the interruption is not for feeding. This time the interruption is for healing. Now you might expect him to grant that request. We've already just, you know, seen 2 weeks ago he fed people. Last week he fished someone out of the water. And if, like, in my imagination, which is clearly, it's not in the Bible, this part, but if you've tried three times to go away to pray, and each time you get interrupted, maybe that third time you'd go, "Okay, heal, I'm going now," right? But he doesn't do that. There's this woman who's taking her own solo, and she clearly knows the tune she wants to perform for him. No one around wants to listen. No one actually really wants her to take this solo. As a matter of fact, not only do people not want her to, they are offended. They're offended by the fact that she's trying and attempting. Doesn't stop her. What she does is she calls out. She speaks out of turn. And that's where the trouble seems to begin. I have a confession. Matt talked last week about his voice lesson. I have a confession also. I sometimes speak out kind of loud, out of turn, and make people uncomfortable. I don't know if that's ever happened to people in this room. Hello, where's my teenager? Yes. Hello, Mom. Hi, Mark. I do that every once in a while, and I'm not even going to look at Matt right now. I don't actually take an intention and mean to offend people. I really don't have that intention as the words are coming out of my mouth. What I mean is, what's coming out of my mouth really is the truth. It's just the truth, and it just needs to be spoken. And I look around, and people are standing, and I'm like, come on, people. Let's just say what needs to happen and move on. Often when I have this experience, because usually I'm in it, and then I look around, and I go, oh, crap, I did it again. I'm being shushed by somebody. That happens to me. Shh, shh, Linda. Or if I don't get shushed, I get the look. Right? And then there's the other one, mostly, I'm going to talk to you about this later. Yeah. That's what happened. People think that I, you know, am kind of rude and outspoken. They have issues with my style of communication and my way sometimes. And here's what I think. I just think you all have issues. That's just the truth. I'm just going to say it. You've got problems with women. There are times. And when you're in Nashville, you really have problems with women. Hoi-yi-yi. So, people expect women to behave a certain way, and this woman did not do that. People expect women not to call attention to ourselves overly much, unless we're doing it in a way that's proper, like defining ourselves in the domain of the kitchen. Okay? He can do that with Sarah's help, so long as you stay on the recipe. So, you know, this woman, in some way, just sticks out. There's a phrase that I love, and I should also make this confession. Yes, I was a U.S. history major in college, and I minored in feminist studies, and I'm from the 70s. There's a phrase that was made kind of famous, accidentally, actually. A woman named Laurel Thatcher Ulrich. She's a faculty at Harvard now. This came out of a paper she was doing when she was doing her graduate work at University of New Hampshire. And she wrote this article. She wasn't thinking about being famous or anything like that. I just want to say on the side, she's married and has 5 children. Why? She got her PhD and a master's degree. Just saying, 5. Oh, whatever. So, she was working on an article about Puritan funeral services and the women in the community. Puritan women and how they do funeral services in the community. And what she was really underneath that doing is saying, back there in the East, in Maine, in New Hampshire, no one's ever studied this. Because when you go there to study, you study witches. right? You study those witches who were out there and everybody's excited about that. No one studies these Puritan women. Why do people not study this? It's because well-behaved women rarely make history. This is my shirt. It's really old, and as Sophia pointed out, it's stained. It was too hot to wear it today. Huh. Well-behaved women rarely make history. So, what we have this morning clearly is a misbehaving woman. And she, yes, go ahead, Lucy.
When you, there are no Methodist churches in that town at all. I had to go to a Catholic church with one of my relatives.
You went to a Catholic church because there are no Methodist churches in Massachusetts.
Baptist. Church, congregational.
So how did it feel to be a Methodist going?
Well,
she has a really like look on her face.
I didn't really like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Why didn't you like it?
Well, for one thing,
they don't sing.
They don't have this.
Mm-hmm.
I like our hymns.
You like our hymns better. Do you feel like an outsider there? Yeah. Even though your friend took you?
Yeah.
It's hard to go into a community, and that's actually perfect because that's what this woman is doing. She's a complete outsider trying to get Jesus' attention. And she's such an outsider that the disciples try to quiet her, and then Jesus refuses her. That's the part that makes the next piece so hard. How do we reconcile the Jesus in this story who says to this misbehaving woman, "I'm not here for you"? Even Jesus didn't want her to speak out. How do we recognize this Jesus with the one we heard about last week? Right there, ready to fish Peter out of the water. How do we do that? Is this the same guy? How do we reconcile the Jesus that knows and accepts all people around him, eats with sinners? How do we reconcile that Jesus that we learn about with a man who turns to a woman who's begging for him to heal her child, and he calls her a dog? He calls her a dog. It's a racial epithet because she was from the region of Sidon and Tyre, and she was not Jewish as far as any scholar can unearth. She was not Jewish, and he's saying, "I'm here for the Jews, for the people in our community. I'm not here for you." And in that time and in the lens in that day, not only was she a woman speaking out of turn, he called her a dog. How do we reconcile that with him saying to Peter, "Stay with it, Peter. You can do it"? I think it's kind of outrageous. It's so outrageous, actually, that when you try to put a sermon together about it and you get out all the scholarly books, listen to how they try and talk us out of Jesus' rudeness. They say things like, "Jesus wasn't really serious when he called her a dog." That was the number one thing. "He's not really serious in here. If we had all been there, he would have called her a dog and looked at us and gone, 'That's what it says.'" We all know racist jokes are racist jokes. It's passive-aggressive aggression, meanness. That doesn't fly. Then there's the other suggestion that he said this, he name-called to test her faith. Is she really faithful? Well, here's a very interesting thing. She's already made her faith plain. by addressing him with the Christian language of the time. The people who were already following him were meeting, and they had a liturgy, and they would say, Lord, Son of David. And prior to that, they would say to a person who was their spiritual leader, Lord, Son of David. That's what they would name him. So she is way ahead of the curve, even, from Peter, who said, if you are, then do this. And she says, Lord, Son of David. As a matter of fact, she's come all this way because she's heard he heals, and she already believes that he can. And he calls her a dog. The way I want us to try and understand how clearly she already believed is something more like this. And if you're a visitor for the first time, you won't quite get this, but it's like this. If Matt were standing up here, and I'm picking on him because it's the male-female thing, because it's she's breaking the social boundary too. And a woman, like in a full burqa, full-on burqa, came in here, we'd go, right? We would respond with something, and we would know, she's not a Methodist, right? That we would, I think that. And if she came all the way up to Matt, and she looked at him, and she said, Carrie, I'm coming to you. She said, Pastor Matt, how is it with your soul? Would that shock us? Like, how'd she know that? I mean, you don't get to really ask that question around here until after blueprint class. How'd she know to ask that? And then, if she did that, it would be as though Matt would say, sorry, lady, don't be asking me about my soul. I'm not going to talk to you. I talk to women who don't wear curtains. I mean, and we would go, he's being really rude to her, right? That's how rude Jesus was being. And that is what a statement of faith she was making to him. In her solo venture, outside her culture, outside her gender norms, to try and get healing for her daughter. She was loud and she was demanding. So what is wrong that all these commentaries want to talk us out of Jesus being rude? What's wrong with an occasional rudeness? What's wrong with taking yourself with another person, being rude, but really just following along normally, the way you would expect? Brendan comes in. Maybe one messed up, we would never know. He's rude, but oh well, maybe she expected him to be rude because maybe she was prepared and she knows how men are anyway. And with all that, maybe she didn't care because her baby was sick and she was going to help that child if it killed her. Maybe inside her head she was thinking, I don't care what anybody else thinks. What's true is true. I've heard that this guy can do this. I am not going to stop. And so she falls down on her knees at his feet and begs him that second time. And that is a turning point. And that's why we have to really be okay with Jesus being rude, because at that point, Jesus changes his mind. Name-calling, rude, culture-bearing male Jesus changes his mind. And he learns to sing a new tune. It's inspired by this misbehaving, loud mama. And he listens to her. And he heals her daughter. And in the midst of the voices in his head, I'm imagining something like this. Crap, she's got a point. I have my job description. I'm only here for Sacramento Bridges District. We can only cover so much. She's from Roseville. I cannot drive that far. Sarah and I only have one car. How's it going to work? But he heals her. He listens, and he takes him want to take his own. And he does. It's an amazing thing when we can truly listen, and follow Jesus. It's amazing that we have a story that models for us a Jesus who changes his mind. Because you know what that means? God changes God's mind too. Just saying. It's the truth. And if that's true, it should be our job to reach in love to probably, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, the rudest, stinkiest, just most foulest behaving people. Dang, it's hard. There's an art to soloing. I'm skipping to the end. You have to be willing, in order to practice it, to try something new. And you have to be willing to be out there and get the look sometimes. Sometimes, as in this case, you are by yourself. And even if you feel frightened, remember, the map opened up, so you won't be by yourself for very long. Not really. Like if you play the trumpet and you start out wailing, but then somebody hears you, eventually to take his own. And he does. It's an amazing thing when we can truly listen, and follow Jesus. It's amazing that we have a story that models for us a Jesus who changes his mind. Because you know what that means? God changes God's mind too. Just saying. It's the truth. And if that's true, it should be our job to reach in love to probably, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, the rudest, stinkiest, just most foulest behaving people. Dang, it's hard. There's an art to soloing. I'm skipping to the end. You have to be willing, in order to practice it, to try something new. And you have to be willing to be out there and get the look sometimes. Sometimes, as in this case, you are by yourself. And even if you feel frightened, remember, the map opened up, so you won't be by yourself for very long.